Reading Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's May 5th, 2015. We'll continue right where we left off with our phone conversation with author, conference speaker Trilia Newbell. And at the end of 2014, she printed her new book through Moody Publishers, United, Captured by God's Vision for Diversity. Yesterday's broadcast is archived at greatnewsradio.org. And once this, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, airs, you can also access the program in its entirety. But before I give some quick highlights, they're back, everybody. At about 8:03, just after the morning program yesterday, as I left the studio and went upstairs, my first hummingbird sighting at the feeder. And a few minutes later, my favorite bird, the rose-breasted grosbeak, a male and female, showed up at another feeder. So the birds are returning to our area. And so get that nectar out, get your bird feeders filled up, and enjoy God's wonderful creation through nature. Well, yesterday we ended with me speculating on something that is pretty far out, but hey, I have a wild imagination and who knows? So you'll hear that explained in just a moment. But today we'll hear about God's grace, being the hands and feet of Jesus, stepping out of our comfort zone. There'll be some recommended readings. And with God's grace being so amazing, why are we not introducing and telling everybody about this truth? We as Christians should be known by our love and our care and concern about others. As mentioned yesterday, Wednesday and Friday's co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo and I called Trilia Newbell up at her home and recorded about a 40-minute conversation. And so we'll begin with me sharing a crazy idea. But hey, don't hold it against me. Now, Jason, you're going to have a field day with this, and Trilia, I'm sure you've never heard this example before, and it's not one of those that I'd go to the stake with, but here's a little theory I have. Have you ever seen, like, when kittens are born, they might come out black and white or striped or all different variations? And I wonder if Adam and Eve, genetically, when they gave birth to children, if maybe some were a little redder, a little browner, a little back in maybe the early days, no one thought about, oh, I should have a white baby or a black baby or a brown baby. They maybe came out differently. And so I wondered if because of that natural tendency to be around our own tribe, our own like, if suddenly the lighter skin or the darker skins kind of started congregating and that racism was maybe rooted early on. Now, I just always have kind of thought, you know, why is that? Why are we so different? And maybe at the very beginning, God, who loves diversity, had that variety from the very beginning. And so, I don't know, I just always wondered, Adam and Eve's children, might they have been different colors, different hues, as Jeffrey Johnson, a pastor in Indianapolis, used to say, you know, you're just my brothers of a lighter hue, when this African-American pastor talked about us white guys. And so, I don't know, I just always have kind of wondered how those original children, when they were birthed, if they had different characteristics, like lighter skin colors or darker tones.
Yeah, well, I would have to review and read through and see, but I wouldn't imagine that there would have been any trouble until Genesis 3. Genesis 1, everything's perfect, everything's great. Genesis 3, sin comes into the world and we have a problem. And then we've got the Tower of Babel, which obviously when he scattered everyone and confused languages, only had to do because they were trying to be God, basically. And so it wasn't until Genesis 3 that we really began to have a problem with each other. And obviously we were separated from the Lord. So I don't know.
Well, that's nothing I'd like. I think Stoll used to say, I won't go to the stake for it. You know, it's one of those where I just kind of always wondered, and just that tendency. Now, obviously, when people were scattered, they went to different parts of the world. And so that certainly affected, like, Chinese or Asian, you know, with eye development and other things. But I just always kind of wondered, you know, when I see newborn kittens and they're so different, and like, why couldn't that have maybe been true with Adam and Eve? Who knows?
Yeah, it may have been true. I have no idea, but I think that if it were true, and if if they came out different shades, which I'm sure someone has studied before. I just said not. So, that they would have been fine. They would have been fine. And even if they, you know, congregated in various, they would have been totally, there wouldn't have been sin. Sin wouldn't have been the issue. But we know by Genesis 3 that they didn't have offspring. So there would have been sin pretty much immediately. And so I think there is and again, I want to be really careful. I don't think that every time that we go to those who we feel most comfortable with, it is driven by sin. I think it's the divide in our hearts where we think when we won't welcome someone in or we would never reach out, that could be the issue. So I want to be really clear by that obviously we can relate and to those who are just like us, and that there's no problem. But it's when we exclude or when we have a preference that is driven by a superiority or a fear, then we have a trouble.
And I think you hit upon something that I find very fascinating. You know, Genesis chapter 10 and Genesis chapter 11, the Table of Nations, and then out of that into the Tower of Babel, really get a picture of God's desire for there to be diversity, not for there to be simply one people congregated in one place, but instead God's command since the beginning to scatter, to go, to cover all the earth. And in that, I think, builds itself out into diversity, because as we go to different places, we have different experiences, and therefore those different experiences form in us different ways of seeing things, which creates diversity. And so I think diversity is God's plan. But I want to ask you this question, because I think that sometimes so the word diversity more and more for me has been a frustrating word. Because I wonder if the word diversity doesn't create in itself division where the word gospel creates unity. And I'd love for you maybe to talk about that for a minute, and maybe if you feel the same ways that I've kind of struggled with the word diversity, because immediately it means we're different and we're different for different sake, yet the gospel wants us to be together for Christ's sake.
Yeah. I have never struggled with the word diversity. I just believe what you're probably experiencing is the word diversity has had so many meanings. So in the 60s or 50s, it would have been a push for desegregation. So we need to diversify, we need to desegregate. In the 70s and 80s, and maybe part of the 90s, we would have pushed for quotas and affirmative action, and now there's loads of meetings. And so I think that what you're hearing and experiencing is probably just the worldly definition of diversity. And I think I mentioned in the book, but I will mention now, diversity, that term, that word, isn't in the Bible. So I don't think that I can see how that could be kind of maybe uncomfortable for some people, but the picture of diversity is in the scriptures, and so I think we can reinvent the word, we can almost give it a new and fresh and good meaning, because it really is something beautiful in the scriptures, and what you're getting to is there's a gospel meaning. I think the reason I like to use the word diversity is so that people understand what I'm talking about, that I really literally am talking about diversifying your community, diversifying your church, that it would look and feel like the scriptures talk about every tribe, tongue, and nation, because we just use the word gospel. Well, the gospel is about justification, right? So I think people will go straight to, okay, well, great. Well, we can be justified and still be separate. And I'm saying, no, we should be, yes, justification, just let's be born again, but let's be together. So that's kind of why I use the term diversity.
Yeah, I think one of your chapters was a different but the same, chapter 5. But talk a little about rejection. So some of our listeners, they're tuned in, but I live here, and it's, you know, it's a white community, and I don't have many friends from different nationalities. Or for somebody that's at the university setting, and there's people from all over the world, and so there's lots of diversity, but they fear rejection. they fear of stepping out of their comfort zone. Do you have some tips or recommendations or means or ways for somebody to say, you know what, I'm hearing you. God loves diversity. God wants us to initiate. He sees all people as equal. But how do I make those first baby steps?
Yeah. Baby step is to realize that you probably will be rejected, and that is okay. Mm. It really is okay. If people say, you know what, I'm going to stiff-arm you, they're really not stiff-arming you. I really believe that part of this is a gospel mission, and it could be that it's a stiff-arm towards the gospel. So I think rejection has to be something that we're okay with. And then just take a step of faith. We don't want to be awkward or weird or okay, well, I see this group, so I'm going to try to squeeze my way in. But really, I think it develops out of friendships. So one thing I urge people to do is to look at their dinner tables, their lunch tables, look in their phone and see when was the last time they had reached out to someone who was not like them. And then that I think is a telling place to start. And then just to look around, look at our neighbors. God says, I mean, really, this is just a natural and unnatural outpouring of the commands of Scripture. God says to love your neighbor as yourself. If we step out of our door and we see our neighbors and we're attempting to love them, part of that loving is to engage in conversation, to befriend. So I think looking at our schools, our neighborhoods, our grocery stores, and having eyes to see people, and really just reaching out and inviting them into our churches, out to lunch. It really is, I guess, it's kind of evangelism in many ways. It's just stepping out in faith to reach our neighbors in love.
In case you just tuned in, we're speaking to Trillia Newbell. She's the author of United, Captured by God's Vision for Diversity. This program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. If you want to listen to it again, or you missed a portion, or you want to copy it into an email and send it on to a friend.
You know, recently I was preaching out of Isaiah, but I began in Corinthians, where Paul says he warns the Corinthians not to receive God's grace in vain. And you make a statement in the book that really is interesting. You say diversity displays a true understanding of God's grace. And when I read that, and I bookmarked it in my book, I kept thinking, how is my response to God's grace in vain if I don't have a true understanding or truly step into what diversity is? And can you talk about maybe the relationship you feel between diversity and God's grace?
I think God's grace, well, first of all, it's unmerited favor. It's ridiculous. It is amazing, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, what was he thinking?
I know. I mean, it really is. It really is. It's amazing. I've heard someone say it's uncalled for. So his grace is something that is poured out, continual, absolute, and amazing. So if we have received this unmerited favor, why would we divide? What divides us from other people when we know the best news and we've received and we continue to receive the best gift on earth? Why can't we forgive? Why can't we love? Why can't we go and seek our neighbor? Now, I'm not saying that as someone who does this perfectly or self-righteously. I'm saying it as a fellow sinner pleading with God for grace to step into this. Okay, so this isn't something that is easy for me at all times to do. So I just think because we have received this grace, we can't obviously give unmerited favor, but we can definitely give grace. We can be gracious. We can love people. We can step into things that are uncomfortable and get over ourselves, not to be frank, but to be frank, we really need to get over our race issue because it's about people, not an issue, right? So all this whole discussion is really a discussion about people and loving people and not an issue. And so I think grace enables us to do that. It enables us to move towards people who are in need of God's grace and love and mercy, and to to kind of be the feet of Jesus, not to be cliche, but to be honest, we can be those feet and love people. So I think that's by diversity. I think it shows grace. God's word says that by our love for one another, the world, will know that we are his disciples. I really believe this is part of it. If we love one another, I mean, look at the world. It is divided so much the world is divided ethnically. I'm sorry, I can't speak. The world is divided by racial and ethnic lines. If we, the church especially, and those who know Christ, can love one another, what display that tells to the world about the gospel? Mm-hmm. It is a race-transcending gospel. It breaks down barriers. That, to me, is a part of God's call. If we love one another, then they will know we are his disciples. It's a gospel call, I believe.
Truly, I want to ask you a question, but I don't know how to ask it in the right way. I understand it, and I hear this. Folks who come to our church, you know, we're definitely Reformed theology, expository preaching. You know, theology matters in our church. When I talk to you and when I read the book, theologically, you're sound. You're theologically, what you're talking about has the right foundation and legs beneath it. And so I guess the question that I want you to help me to ask is, what piece of that is missing? Maybe what should we be reading? What should we be – because that's really my frustration. I mean, I get around my brothers, I'm talking about, okay, well, this is – the gospel's important. And then when they articulate the gospel for me, I'm going, that's not the gospel. Like, that's a shadow of the gospel. Because I want to understand the path that she took to where she wound up in this place. Because, theologically, you lay down the gospel in such a way, especially through the book and that, you lay down the gospel in such a way that it sees reconciliation. And so if I come to the table with other people who don't understand the gospel, now I'm kind of beating my head against the table going, I have to be the guy who has to explain the gospel here before we can even get to rolling the gospel out towards reconciliation. And sometimes I feel like we can't even get to the reconciliation piece because we're still wrestling the gospel piece. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So maybe your question could be, what are some authors who have really influenced you?
As my wife would say, Jason, thank you for taking me on the tour. Now we'll get back to the easy part. So, Shirley, what are some authors and people who have impacted your view of the gospel, diversity, and so on?
Yeah, okay, so I have a number of authors. Martin Lloyd-Jones, John Piper, who I love and I'm actually friends with. I really respect him and his family. And Thabiti Anyabwile, Anthony Carter, Brian Loretz, Carl Ellis Jr., just to name a few. Those are some who have really helped shape my understanding. D.A. Carson did, and I can't think of the author's name, but he has a series of books on theology, and I read the book on A Theology of Race. That was very, very helpful. And so I would recommend anyone getting D.A. Carson's, his book. And I wish I could, I'm looking at my bookshelf now and I can't find it. But it was A Theology of Race. And so there's a number of authors that I've read and that who've shaped me in my understanding of the gospel. R.C. Sproul and all of Ligonier Ministries, just understanding of the gospel and what is Reformed theology, which is my background. And of course, my pastor. I really believe in the local church. And when I say believe in it, I believe it's important. And so just listening to my pastor and reading the Bible and studying the preached word, like what he's preached, I think has been really helpful to me. So those are a number of things. And when I first became a Christian, I became a Christian in a predominantly white church. And that's where I started reading a lot of Bible doctrine, systematic theology, both by Wayne Grudem. So those are the things that I just started to feed off of when I became a Christian. And they were just proved to be very helpful in understanding the gospel and also in just my walk
Our special guest on today and yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends is Trilia Newbell. She's the author of United, Captured by God's Vision for Diversity. It's produced by Moody Publishers, and we appreciate our friends at Moody. And Trilia, we appreciate you carving out time for yesterday and today's edition of Mark and Friends. And maybe in the coming days, how can our listeners be praying for you? We appreciate all the time, and I think I've heard one of your child's voice in the background. You're at home, right? Yes.
I am. And they are lovely. So you can just, pray for strength in that the Lord would continue to give me grace as I minister and encourage mostly women around the world and in this sweet country of ours. So I think, just pray for grace. And I'm excited about the mission. I'm excited about what the Lord has me talking and thinking and speaking about. And I really want to encourage the faith of people, both on this topic of diversity, but also in my next book, Fear and Faith. So I would love prayer for wisdom and grace.
So those of you who are listening right now, if maybe something that Trilia spoke has really just resonated in your heart, maybe you've been feeling like you want to reach across that divide, you say, you know what, I'm just tired of there just seeming to be these lines, these fences, these trenches between myself and my brothers who look entirely different than me, but who have been saved by that same Savior, that same Spirit inside of them, and we minister the same gospel, and we're covered by that same grace. Run out and grab a copy of United, Captured by God's Vision for Diversity. Again, Trilia Newbell, I know in our family it's been powerful reading, and we're looking forward to Trilia's new book, Fear and Faith, and people can read that and just really continue this conversation of diversity and breaking down those walls and growing more and more to be the people that God pictures in His Word, which is a people who are gathered beneath one banner, and that banner is grace. Trilia, thanks so much for carving out time and taking time over these last 2 days to talk to us about, I think, a very difficult subject, but something that we really need to wrestle with as the church.
Oh, well, my pleasure.
Thanks, Trilia.
Thanks, Trilia.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, this concludes our 40-minute conversation with Trilia Newbell, author of United, Captured by God's Vision for Diversity, a Moody Publishers publication, which can be purchased at moodypublishers.com. Our 40-minute conversation was broken into 2 days, yesterday and today, and both are archived at greatnewsradio.org. If you missed a portion or wanted to copy and paste the link into an email and send it on to a friend, or listen to it again in its entirety at your convenience, greatnewsradio.org. Well, with tomorrow being Wednesday, co-host Pastor Jason Schiffel will be in the studio, and I'm not quite sure what we'll be talking about. I trust it'll be God-honoring, encouraging, and drawing from the Scriptures, and maybe a fun story or two. Now remember, as mentioned, hummingbirds are back in the area, so get that nectar out or the sugar water. I usually begin with about a 50-50 mix, and then decrease that in the days ahead, but a nice strong sugar mixture will help them find your feeder. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Today a man is somewhere proclaiming the good news, winning families to Jesus all around his neighborhood. He tells them that God is able to make their house a home. He wants to win his world for Christ, but he can't do it alone. But each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to the Savior. Then together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way. If we heed